Blog Talk Radio.
That little bit
got me. What up, world? Welcome back from the long, long hiatus. This is the Bloody Knuckle Show, DK Show 1 on Twitter. Sorry for the sound quality, ladies and gentlemen. We are still working on things. Your boys have been busy with our regular lives. We decided it's time to make a motherfucking comeback. I'm here with my boy. First off, let me just say, welcome to the Bloody Knuckle Show. I'm a little rusty at this right now. DK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by our motherfucking self. That's how we do it, and that's how we always will do it. I am here tonight to talk with my boy about college football. You know we're going to throw some Dr. Edwards in there and a couple other things. But let me introduce him. He's the king of Rochester and many other things. The king of bling. The dude who invented the swing. I'm talking the dance, man. The dude who said, Nick Diaz, throw your middle fingers up. The dude who said, yo, Bruce Lee, you gotta fight Chuck. The dude who told Game, you gotta wear them Chucks. The dude who told Nate Diaz and Nick Diaz, smoke some weed and play with your nunchucks. He is the dude who called Brock Lesnar to his face a dumb fuck. He is the man that will sun him, plus the fact that they'll punch him in the face, make him uglier than Tito Ortiz and Chael Sonnen. It is the dude who's fucking your wife. Sorry, husband. It's Andrew Merritt. What's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what it do? Good God, it feels good to be back. And for the fans, you know, we do have to apologize. Me and Ryan got busy, and, you know, I'll be honest. Normally, you know, how it works is, you know, RG, as you know, the show is sporadic due to our lives, but one of us will message one of each other, hey, man, you want to do a show? And normally it's a, yeah, let's do it. Well, sadly, that didn't happen for like 2 months.
Yeah.
So we're very happy to be back, and there's just too much going on. You know, we took a dead period, just like there's been a dead period in mixed martial arts. You know, not a lot has happened. Not a lot is
going
down.
Going on.
Yeah, you know,
it's
10 months
on the McGregor show.
Yeah, I mean, come on, we don't care about these shitty ass matchups.
All
you
these
know,
other podcasts are the regular UFC. We're the McGregor show. We pop up when we feel like it. But ladies and gentlemen, I promise we will be showing up more. It's sad we didn't up y'all more on the college football season or give you more shows. But I'm glad you're still following me on Twitter. And I am walking through some wind, so excuse that. Yeah, but Andrew, it feels good to be back.
We're about to do a big, folks, too. We have a special surprise for you. You know, we are going to do our college football awards for 2016. You know, the Bloody Knuckle Show College Football Awards. So, Ryan, we got a lot to cover. Let's just dive into it like some good pussy.
It is Florida here, but it is cold as shit out there.
Oh, Ryan, it's 24 degrees up here and snowing. I really don't want to hear it.
Well, for a Floridian, it's fucking cold. But Andrew, we got a lot to cover. We're gonna go through some awards. We're also gonna talk college football playoffs. We're gonna do Dr. Edwards, maybe some random UFC talk, depending on when the results come in of that shitty ass card. But do you want to start with the playoff talk?
Yeah. Let's start with the playoff. And Ryan, you know, real quick, there's a lot of controversy. I just want to ask you this. Personally, I was happy. You know, a lot of controversy. How come Penn State, you know, didn't get in, even though their two-loss team won their conference? Why did Ohio State make it in over them, even though Penn State won the matchup between them? Ryan, I'm personally happy that Penn State didn't make it and Ohio State made it, because we all know if – you know, Penn State, I feel like, would get – they might be able to hang with Clemson, but they would get smashed by Bama. Ohio State only had one loss. Really, it came down for me Penn State lost to Pitt, but then they lost by 39 points to Michigan. I was kind of refreshed that they put the one loss Ohio State in, and it boiled down to me, Ohio State made it in over them because they only had one loss, and I'm happy that Ohio State's in because I do feel like they were one of the best teams. Penn State's schedule was kind of weak. We saw Ohio State beat a very good Oklahoma team, and they throttled them too. You know, so real quick, Ryan, what were your thoughts, you know, with Ohio State making it over Penn State? Do you,
overall,
you know, controversial?
Overall, I was pretty happy with the four they selected. You can't argue with Ohio State's schedule, and they did exactly what the College Football Committee said to do. They scheduled a tough out-of-conference game against Oklahoma on the road, and they whopped Oklahoma, who ended up being a Big 12 champion. They also played Nebraska. I think they played Wisconsin. They played Michigan. Their only loss was to a number 5 Penn State team. Now, that's where it gets
kind
of tricky.
They had to block two kicks in the fourth quarter. They got a chance to lucky.
Don't get me wrong. I think Ohio State definitely beats them. I think the committee got it right because finally they're looking at kind of the best teams overall.
Yeah.
But there is an argument to be said, and this is why I think the field has to be expanded. And I, at this point, you know, I was a Big 6 team guy, but now I'm looking at it like, I think it should probably be 8 teams because I don't think it's going to take – I think it's going to add more to the regular season and keep teams in it like Oklahoma and USC. And I think teams should have to schedule games, at least two of them. And I think that's what this year has done is broaden at least that conversation. I do have to say one thing that's kind of shocking is Penn State did win Ohio State's division, and it did – I mean, if you look at the end of the day, I think Ohio State should have been in. But here's the argument, you know, I can see it's such a good argument against it, is when they did line up and play each other, not only did Penn State win the division, but they did beat Ohio State. So maybe Ohio State should drop to number 4 at least. But also,
you know, they're
to
not going
to
make Alabama play Ohio State round 1.
Exactly. And I think Alabama has gotten away this year and last year with the easiest first-round matchup, and that's one thing I don't like. I don't know how good the Washington Huskies are. Their best win was, like, freaking Stanford, and they didn't schedule anybody. So the committee saying
– Colorado, ooh.
Yeah, oh, great wins. But if the committee wants to say they're scheduling the teams with the best resume or something like that, Washington is not that team. I don't know how much better than Penn State they are or how much more ready.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Michigan doesn't deserve to be in there because I think Michigan beat Ohio State if it wasn't for one bad call. So
and
Michigan,
3 wins against top 10 teams.
Yeah, I mean, just look at that right there. Oklahoma, they did everything the committee asked. They scheduled two out of big out-of-conference games. Houston was a way different team by the end of the year, team at the beginning of the year. Very hot when Oklahoma went to play them. And I think Oklahoma could run with anybody right now. If we had an 8-team playoff, Andrew, we would be seeing maybe like Oklahoma, Alabama in the first round. I mean, how great would that be? Also,
epic.
I think they should start looking at maybe an NIT. I mean, this bowl system is just – it's just not exciting in my opinion. And also with Western Michigan, I got to say that, you know, undefeated and everything – I think those teams should just have their own playoffs. I mean, the more playoffs, the better, in my opinion. I love watching North Dakota, South Dakota State today. And it just opened my eyes to the more playoffs, the better. But at the end of the day, I think they definitely got the top 3 right.
Yeah.
I don't know, Andrew, do you think...
Number 4, 5, and 6 all had an argument. You know what I mean, Ryan?
Yeah. I mean, looking at Washington... Do you think at least, like, just looking at them on paper, because I don't have a lot of – I think they're the kind of team that can beat Alabama, but I don't have a lot of faith in them.
No.
Do you think that the teams behind them, like Penn State, Michigan, Oklahoma, could beat Washington?
I definitely do. And, you know, Ryan, this is the crazy part looking at it, and this is why I agree with you about the eight teams. There's, you look, okay, the top three teams, Ohio State, Clemson, you know, Alabama, they all deserve to be in after what they've done, the body of work. Washington deserved it too, but they had a weak, you know, weak schedule. But four, five, six, shit, even seven, eight, there's not a lot separating those teams. Oklahoma looked bad to start the year, but they're one of the hottest teams in the country. Hell, look, even USC, another one of the hottest teams in the country. And Ryan,
I know
USC got mollywomped by Alabama, you know, to start the season.
That is not the same.
But that was before. No, that was before they had Sam Darnold. You know, they have a new quarterback, completely different team, and that score too, Ryan, was kind of misleading. USC completely given up. And look at the way Oklahoma's playing. I know they got mollywomped by Ohio State early in the season, but if they were to play
right now.
Yeah. So, you know, end of the line, you know, we're happy there's a playoff, but there needs to be more teams, not a lot, you know, there's not a lot to separate these teams by. And how do you have five power conferences with only four playoff spots? But, Ryan, we're already about 12 minutes in.
Yeah.
Looking at these first matchups, and then I have to say, you know, for first talking about the Alabama-Washington one, I mean, personally, Ryan, I'm with you. I think USC, I think even Oklahoma has a better chance. Don't know about Penn State. Granted, they might have some overall better players, but the one thing that Washington does have that these other teams don't have, and they all have good coaches, but Chris Peterson, and in our eyes, has without a doubt been the coach of the year. Kind of amazing.
Oh, yeah.
This guy, honestly, Ryan, he could kind of be like the next Urban Meyer. He's just in the Midwest. Look what he's done with Boise. Not only did he build the program, still winning without him, and that's from the culture that Peterson has instilled into that school, the work ethic and the culture. And now look what he's did with Washington and Ryan. Washington was very highly ranked to start the year. You know, they were in the top 10. You know, me and you, I remember when we first started College Football Talk, we were both extremely high on Washington, but it's another thing to be that highly ranked and actually deliver, beat the teams you should beat, and play to the best of their abilities. You know, they lost to a very hungry USC team, and that was it. And honestly, Ryan, how could you keep them out of the playoffs? I mean, they only lost one game. They won their championship game, blew out Colorado.
And they won a lot of games in convincing fashion.
Yeah, they handled their business. Now, Ryan, so going in this game, I mean, obviously on the field, it's not even close, you know, with the type of players that Bama recruits, but that's like that with anyone. And the one thing that Washington has in the X factor is Peterson. He can draw some stuff up. I'd love to pick Washington, Ryan, but I'm going to be honest. I just think Bama is too much. It might be close early, but with Bama pounding away how physical they are, I don't see Washington holding up the whole game. I think it's close in the beginning, but Bama pulls away at the end, and we're looking at a final score like 34-10 or something like that. And I got Bama winning the first game and ended up being pretty convincing fashion. But I do have Washington giving them a little bit of fight in the first half. Ryan, real quick, how do you see that matchup playing out?
One thing I got to say is if you look back, Alabama really hasn't played a quarterback since Chad Kelly. I mean, to be truthful. Go to theringer.com and look at the article that says Alabama ain't played nobody. It's kind of true. Their schedule this year, they relied on that SEC schedule, but the SEC sucked this year. And there was no quarterbacks, and the team that should have been able to beat them didn't because they had no good quarterback play. And I think Washington, with their threats on the outside and great quarterback play, and Chris Peterson with a month to create some magic, it might be in the air, Andrew, for the Washington Huskies are going to lose by at least 2 touchdowns by Alabama.
I was like, no,
Michigan,
he's not. No, he's not.
Michigan or somebody, a healthy Michigan, which I'm very worried playing our Florida State Seminoles.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a lot of other teams, Oklahoma, I would say, you know, Jalen Hurts, his first playoff game ever, he might,
yeah,
you know, he might crumble under the pressure. But I just don't know if Washington has the defense to really deliver.
Yeah.
I do think they're going to keep it close, and they're going to actually go up by maybe a touchdown or 10 points at some point. But I think at some point, Calvin Ridley and the Alabama receivers are going to take over on the other side of the field. Allen will get a couple big plays. The Alabama defense will start hitting hard. And at some point, they'll make some big special team plays like they always do. And Lane Kiffin, the real gem of Alabama, in my opinion, will get that offense in the end zone, because that's truly how they're going to beat Washington. They're going to have to create turnovers how they've done all year, and they're going to have to score, which I think Alabama is going to have trouble scoring in this playoff. Could be their downfall, but I do think they'll eventually end up beating Washington by 2 touchdowns. I hope it's a close game, though.
Yeah, I agree. Then, Ryan, game I've been going back and forth on, Ohio State, Clemson, you know, great game. Very excited
big
for this game.
Big money matchup.
You know, Ryan, Clemson is my team who they're the team I think that can beat Alabama the most, judging it by a player's perspective. I feel like they've been – Clemson's really reminded me of Florida State in 2014, Ohio State last year. A lot of players looking towards the draft. But if they won it all and blew everyone out, you wouldn't be surprised because, you know, the talent they have. It's kind of head-scratching to me because, you know, they lost it last year in a game they probably should have won. So you think maybe they would be hungrier this year, you know, wanting to deliver on the championship. But Deshaun Watson has not been himself, turning over the ball a lot. Such a spitting image to the 2014 Noles. They play Ohio State. You know, Clemson, if they play to the best of their abilities, honestly, Ryan, I think they could mollywomp Ohio State. But the biggest reason I don't think that's going to happen, and you look at the huge advantage that Ohio State has, and that is in the coaching department. Arguably the best coach, I have to right now say he's the second best coach, just because, you know, Alabama's won 4 championships in the last 7 years. But one of the teams to step on there was Ohio State, Urban Meyer. Going into this matchup, I mean, Ohio State's got a great, young, explosive team. I just don't know how great JT Barrett is. And I do have to think Clemson, Deshaun Watson, you know, could be his last game. He is going to play, you know, lights out, Ryan. And Deshaun Watson is probably the best overall player, or I should say with the most talent, in the most important position in these playoffs, Ryan. So I'm going to go with Clemson squeaking by Ohio State in a tough, good matchup. I see a lot of lead changes. It's going to be a great game. I got Clemson, though, scoring late to ice it and winning 38-34.
I love that prediction. It's a great breakdown. In my view, when Ohio State's been on, they've been unstoppable.
That's
true.
But
there's been too many times this year where they just – and definitely lately, I don't know what they're going to do this month to change things. Maybe they're a little bit unhealthy, I'm not sure. But I just don't know if they have the receivers to get the ball downfield. And Clemson has way too many athletes. I know Michigan has a great defense, and they shut down Ohio State. It came down to Ohio State having to get the ball on the 25-yard line in overtime for them to finally,
yeah,
you know, score with purpose on Michigan, and some very bad calls.
Yeah.
And we might see that. We never know. It is, you know, we know college football is corrupt.
Yeah.
They might want Ohio State, Alabama. But I just don't know if JT Barrett can continually get the ball downfield the whole game. And Andrew, I got to say, when Deshaun Watson is on, he reminds me a lot of our boy. I can't remember his name.
Jamie?
Florida State.
Jamie.
Yeah. His last year, you know, his mind wasn't in it a couple of times. He had a lot of interceptions, stuff like that. But in big games, if you look back in Deshaun Watson's time at Clemson, he always finds a way to win, except that Alabama game, you know, Florida State this year, Louisville. Deshaun Watson, when he's on, he is just unstoppable. He can run the ball. He can throw the ball. They have Mike Williams on the outside. I think it's going to be a hard-hitting game. If Deshaun Watson can avoid the turnovers, as I think early he's going to throw a few picks maybe, or, you know, keep Ohio State in the game that way. I think, you know, Urban Meyer will coach that offense up to get them, you know, get them going. But I think late, Ohio State just doesn't have the firepower and offense to be able to beat Clemson. And I'm going to have to agree with you. I think it's going to be a close game, heavyweight battle, one of the better playoff games we've seen, where Clemson will take the victory for the ACC and beat Ohio State. Ooh. I'm going to say 28-27. Ohio State misses a field goal at the end of the game to lose in the college football playoff to set up Clemson, Alabama.
Oh, man, that would be a classic. I like it. So, Ryan, I've been going back and forth if we do get Clemson-Alabama rematch from last year. I got to think Clemson's going to come out harder. This is what the game boils down to me for both teams. Number one, Alabama's defense and special teams, never seen quite anything like it. They had, going into the Florida game, I'm not sure, they might have one more, but I know at one point they had 13 non-offensive touchdowns, which is amazing. Some quarterbacks haven't even thrown 13 touchdowns this year. Running backs haven't run 13 touchdowns in this year. So that in itself, that stat is amazing. And looking at Deshaun Watson, he has at times just been a little too careless with the football and has thrown a lot of interceptions this year. So my one X factor, if we do get that matchup, is going to be whether Deshaun Watson turns over the ball or not. If he doesn't, you know, look out Alabama. But if he does, look out Clemson. It could be a massacre if Alabama gets a couple picks, because they've been like sharks this year. On the flip side, Ryan, you were talking about it, Jalen Hurts. And it's not like Hurts, the type of quarterback where he's been wowing people, dropping dimes. I think in the championship game, passes that went past the line of scrimmage against Florida, Hurts was only 4-12 of, and they still blew Florida out. God, the Gators suck. But he's only 4-12 those passes. He's turned over the ball a couple times. He's going up against a monster defensive coordinator in Brent Venables. The guy is a beast, and you got to think he is going to throw the kitchen sink at Hurts if they play again, so he could end up shutting him down with his blitzes and stuff. That will be a very, very tough matchup for Jalen Hurts. At the end of the day, as much as I hate to see it, I really don't want to see it, because if Alabama wins, that will be 5 championships in 8 years, and college football just is getting to the point where it's not fun anymore. Just give another championship to Bama, all the bandwagon fans. I've never seen a dynasty quite like this in my lifetime if they win it all to start the new year in January. But as much as it pains me to say this, Ryan, I think we're going to get a good game. But Bama has just been quite amazing this year. The only close game they were in were against Ole Miss. They had a furious comeback to beat them. Their defense, special teams, they've been blowing everyone out. I just think Bama's a juggernaut. They're too strong, too fast, too physical, too much depth, and it's going to be close early. Clemson might even pull out to a lead. And, you know, the X factor, all those head coaches they have on their team. Defensive coordinator is Jeremy Pruitt, a guy who will probably see as a head coach in a few years. Offensive coordinator, Lane Kiffin, a guy who might be a head coach after these playoffs or will be a head coach in a couple of years. And they even have Steve Sarkisian, the alcoholic, another guy who's to be another head coach. And then on the flip side, Clemson, poor old little no sideburn having Dabo Sweeney, bring your own guts, the midget running around out there looking like a fucking clown. As much as it pains me to say this, I have Alabama winning. Nick Saban's going to sun Dabo Sweeney again. They're going to go on another fishing trip this summer, and Dabo's going to say, Nick, come on, man, just let me get one. And I think Alabama beats Clemson in a pretty good game. However, I don't think the game will be as competitive as it was last year. I think Alabama pulls away down the stretch again in a good battle, but sadly, I have Alabama winning.
On the flip side, I think a lot of the stuff you said, I do agree with Alabama. The defense is ferocious. But I think if you look back at that Ole Miss game, it really shows a lot because Alabama, they can get shocked by a guy like Deshaun Watson, who they rarely play. They haven't seen somebody like Deshaun Watson except last year. And I think this Alabama team is not as good as the Alabama team last year, despite how they ran through their schedule, just because Jalen Hurts in the offense. Sorry, guys, getting through a little cold. I think Jalen Hurts in the offense is going to go through a little shock value because that Clemson defense has always stepped up in big games, and this is the biggest game of them all. I think Alabama is going to struggle a little bit early to move the ball. They're going to have to rely heavily on that defense, and I think it's going to be one of those special moments, kind of like when Vince Young took down the USC dynasty. But Alabama doesn't have that Matt Leiner. They don't have that clear Reggie Bush. You know, they've relied so heavily on that defense. I think Deshaun Watson is finally going to have his truly special moment where he comes through in the clutch and is able to beat this Alabama team in very close fashion. I think the Clemson defense is going to step up. I think the Negan, which is Nick Saban, and the Rick Grimes, Lane Kiffin, are going to be getting in a lot of arguments on the sideline because Alabama is going to be scrambling to find ways to move the ball. We saw Clemson is a team that always steps up like they did against Florida State, and they find ways to win. Yeah. I know the Pitt game was the one game that kind of – I mean, this team really should be undefeated, just like Alabama with a harder schedule. I just think Deshaun Watson is too much, and he's not somebody Alabama has seen all year since that national title game, and he should have beat him last year. And I think he's going to have a Vince Young-type moment, absurd numbers, maybe even show that he might, even though the numbers are so great for Jackson, he might deserve that Heisman Award, and he's definitely going to be my MVP of this playoff. I think Williams is going to go off and get a bunch of big plays in this game downfield, and I think Clemson is going to end up getting the victory in overtime after they score, and then they shut down Hurts, winning the game 31-24, and yes, Alabama will have a defensive touchdown, but I think Clemson's going to pull some tricks out of their book too, maybe a fake punt or something like that, and Clemson is going to go for it this year. They're going to put it on the line. They know that this is the end of their era with Deshaun, and it could be a shock for Clemson football after this together and get a special moment with Deshaun and finally get that national title they've been waiting for. Clemson,
God, Ryan,
national champion.
I hope you're right. It's funny because real quick before we get to our awards, last year I was rooting hard for Bama, just, you know, me being a Florida State fan, didn't want to see, you know, a team who's a rival. Granted, Clemson, the difference, I will say this from a Florida State perspective, is the Miami rivalry, the Florida rivalry, and the Clemson rivalry. There's just a pure hate for Miami and Florida.
Especially
I don't have
Florida.
That hate for Clemson. Clemson, in my eyes, is like our little brother. You know what I mean? So there's not that pure hatred. It's more of like a sibling rivalry. You know what I mean? But this year, I am not rooting for Alabama. I want any of these teams to knock them out. Just for the sake of college football, we can't have Bama
winning all games.
Dynasties
have to crumble, Andrew. I just think dynasties have to crumble. And
I
think that Ohio State, Clemson matchup, one of those teams are going to be able to pull through and beat Alabama despite the easy first-round game or not easy, but not as tough as Ohio State Clemson have to do it.
You're right.
I think that, you know, Alabama not having to play as good a team there might be a little shock value to that offense when they go against
and with Hurts against
you know,
good defense.
Yeah,
what happens
I mean,
when Hurts has to win the game?
Exactly. I mean, in my opinion, against Ohio State or Clemson, if they're down and, you know, Jalen Hurts has to get the ball downfield, I know he has a lot of weapons, but with the game on the line and 2 minutes left, I'm not sure if he can do it. And we know the Clemson defense can show up big, at least late in games. They might give up some big plays. Sure, if I can rely on Jalen Hurts to get a national championship at this point, and I think at some point a dynasty has to crumble, and I just think the college football gods will give us an Alabama loss, please, at some point in this national title. So, Andrew, we have some awards real quickly. We're going to throw them out. Let's go ahead and do it. The BK Show Heisman. Who you got?
I'm sorry. I have to give it to my boy Dalvin Cook. I know Lamar Jackson won the Heisman tonight, and he's up there too, but Dalvin Cook, what he's done for Florida State the last two years. I mean, Ryan, we would have lost a lot of games these last 2 years, even dating back to the last 3 years without Dalvin Cook. What he's done against quality competition is quite amazing. What he's done to the other teams in the state of Florida is amazing. What he's done against rivals is amazing. The guy is just the best running back maybe in the ACC history, not alone Florida State history. What he's done in this three-year span at Florida State is amazing. This year, he was amazing. My Heisman is the guy who keeps getting snubbed, Dalvin Cook. Hey, buddy, you won a better one. You won the Bloody Knuckle Show Heisman.
I have to agree with everything you said about Dalvin. And I have to look at it like if you take these guys off certain teams, what would happen? Florida State would not have won a lot of games they did and a quality finish without Dalvin Cook. And he's probably, in my opinion, the best player in the nation. But I just can't look past the numbers that Jackson put up this year. I know it was a bad finish, but I got to say that just the absurd numbers. I mean, being like seventh or eighth in the nation, I think in rushing touchdowns or rushing yards overall as a quarterback, it's just too much. I mean, he put up literally video game numbers, almost 60 touchdowns this year. I mean, he outdid Michael Vick's numbers. I got to say, I have to give it to Jackson just because of the numbers, especially his September. He was out of a lot of games early. He might have well over 60 to 70 touchdowns if they didn't blow so many teams out. So I got to go with Jackson from Louisville, who was the Heisman winner tonight.
And, Ryan, I think our things were just flip-flop. Next we'll do Offensive Player of the Year. My Offensive Player of the Year was Lamar Jackson. For all the things, I won't dive into too much for all the things you just said. I didn't give him the Heisman because how he finished. Yours is Dalvin. That's funny. Well, let's flip it on the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to go Jonathan Allen, the defensive end for Alabama. Guy even got some Heisman votes. I know a lot of people say, what about Jabril? Jabril's a great player, but if you look at his stats, they're not amazing. And, you know, Jonathan Allen was kind of the anchor of that defense that was so great this year. So, on the flip, Jonathan Allen was my defensive player of the year.
And I have to completely agree with that. I got Jonathan Allen. I mean, that defense is so stacked. You can give it to maybe even a couple other guys in that defense. Did every big game I looked up, that big motherfucker was either rumbling down the sidelines, scoring a touchdown, or doing something big. I mean, he just represented
Superman sack against Texas A&M was probably the craziest thing I've ever seen.
He was just a supernatural force this year. I mean, he was kind of the face of that defense, in my opinion. And, Andrew, I think he really should have been a part of the Heisman ceremony this year. And if there was a year, I know I wouldn't want an Alabama guy to get it, but if there was a year where you're going to finally give it to, like, a D lineman, Allen definitely could have been that guy. He definitely should have been invited to a New York today. Definitely, in my opinion, the defensive player of the year, in a year where there's a lot of quality defensive players.
And then real quick, a couple minutes left. Team of the Year, Coach of the Year, and the Dookie Award. I think me and Ryan were in pretty much agreeance. Coach of the Year, you got to give it to Chris Peterson. What he did in Washington was just frankly amazing what he's done building that team. And you got to think Washington's going to be around for the next 10 years because of him. Team of the year, I was going back and forth, almost put Colorado, but Ryan nailed the nail on the head when he said this one to me. Has to be Penn State winning the Big Ten. This is a team, Ryan, where you thought they were going to fire James Franklin after they got derailed by Michigan. Their turnaround they had this year. It was amazing. Amazing. I've never seen anything like it. And then Dookie of the year has to go to pretty much everything, in my opinion, everything associated with Tennessee football. Bush Jones, you're such an idiot. I mean, Ryan, this team finally beat Florida after 11 years, one of the hottest teams in the country. Everyone thought this was their year. They might win the SEC. They might make the playoffs. This year has been 3 years coming for Tennessee. Everyone circled this year, a lot of seniors. How does it end? They blow a game against Texas A&M where they almost came back. Then they get mollywhomped by Alabama. They end up losing the SEC East to Florida. They let Florida win the SEC East with a terrible team. And, Ryan, after they got eliminated, just to add salt to the wound, they lose their very last game of the season to fucking Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, they get outscored 21-3 in the second half. Butch Jones, one of their best rush running back, one of their best players, Jalen Hurd, wants to transfer. They fell apart. There were talks, should they fire him? Which I think Tennessee, I mean, come on, you got to think about this. You guys have been terrible. He's being a victim of his own success for what he's built, the way he recruits, but he might not be the coach to get them to take that next step. But Dookie of the year, definitely Tennessee. Ryan, did you have anything else? Like, what were your picks?
I had a different one. I had Charlie Strong, just because I thought after that Notre Dame victory, like, Texas, you couldn't do better than that. Losing to Kansas, I mean, Charlie Strong clearly just lost that job. I mean, he lost his team, and it was a talented team. Definitely the team I watched against Notre Dame. It was a team that should have done a lot more, in my opinion, and not that strong of a conference, but a lot of winnable games. And the fact that Houston didn't even perform to really how, you know, the coach of Houston really, you know, they didn't have the year they should have had in their conference, yet Texas has way more faith in him than they do Charlie Strong. Charlie Strong clearly, and I do love your case for Butch Jones of Tennessee after hearing it, but I'm going to stick with Charlie Strong, Brian Kelly right up there with how Notre Dame performed. But I got to say Charlie Strong because he got such a great job as a black man in this world, getting the job at Texas. You can't say they're being racist now because that dude fucked up.
Yeah, 5 minutes left, just a quick add. You know, I do feel a little bit bad for Charlie Strong. He recruited well. But, you know, just in the fact you knew this day was coming. Like, you know, but I got to put it, he didn't have one winning season at a school like Texas. I mean, Ryan, that's unacceptable. Almost at any school, it's unacceptable, but especially at Texas. And I mean, the reason why I say, you know, you're right on, I can't feel that bad for him because if that's any coach, it doesn't matter, you know, if he's an African American, if he's white, Latino, Asian, even if he's an alien, any coach who has three straight losing seasons at any program besides like maybe a Kansas or an Illinois is going to get canned. Ryan, I completely forgot about Charlie Strong. That was a great pick for the Dookie of the Award. And yeah, it's true, as I got to say, Brian Kelly, Notre Dame, what the hell happened? I mean, the team did have a lot of injuries and whatnot, but I mean, with the Sean Kizer, one of the best quarterbacks in college football, that was quite shocking. Folks, stick around, depending if Dr. Edwards wants to come out and chat tonight, we might see a part two, but if not, you know, get ready. Fantasy football playoffs, big day tomorrow in the NFL to shake out the standings. I'm excited, Ryan. I know college football ends, and I was sad this was the first Saturday without it, but still a lot of great sports to come. Ryan, real quick, how did you fill up your Saturday afternoon without college football?
It was sad, man. I'm so sad to see college football gone. I mean, I watched a little bit of FCS or whatever it's called.
Shout out to the Army. beat Navy for the first time in 14 years, but
I was pretty shocked to see that. I saw them up 14-0. I didn't get to see it. I'm pretty sad because I didn't get to see a lot of college football this year because of my work schedule. I've gotten to see more NFL, but it's sad to see another year where we've rushed through the college football season this quick, and this is why I want a bigger playoff. We can just enjoy more college football, Andrew. I mean, it has to happen. Four teams aren't enough. We need eight teams. I mean, who wouldn't love, like, Oklahoma versus Alabama right now in the first playoff game? I mean, come on. It would be unreal. It was sad, man, and, you know, searching for stuff to watch now without college football around. At least we're going to have some weird-ass bowl games like Iowa, Florida. We have college basketball with a bunch of players that we don't know.
Who cares about college basketball in December?
Exactly, because it's a bunch of players we don't know because of the one-and-done rule. Andrew, I think we have 1 minute left. Let me get your number one preseason team right now in college football if you had to pick a team.
Next year, college football, number one preseason team, fucking Florida State. We bring pretty much everyone back. We're loaded. DeAndre Francois taking the next step, one of the best freshmen of the year. Look out, world.
Yeah, I got to say, USC, I'm not sure who they're
quarterback.
They're up there, but I got to say, Florida State has all their talent. I mean, it is not acceptable for Jimbo to have another year like this year. Florida State has to be in playoff contention every year, and I do believe they have to do it next year despite that big Alabama game to start the year.
Well, even if you lose that game, Ryan, and take care of business, the committee has shown, you know, we can lose that game and win out and still be in the playoffs. The committee has shown.
And,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to